Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And living in the end times, we're living in a time of lies and deceit, as we saw partially last time, that fills the world. And we've seen the scriptures how it says that Satan the devil is deceiving the whole world, and that those who practice religion today worship Satan the devil, even in Christianity of this world.
Seus, Lucifer matutinus inveniat. Ille, in quam Lucifer, qui nescito casum, Christus filius tuus, qui regressus ab inferis, humano generis serenus illuxit, et tecum vivit et regnat in saecula saeculorum.
Now you need to understand that, and you need to realize what you need to do. Let me ask you some questions. How is your life toward God? Do you believe God, or do you just believe that there is a God? Now, you know there's a difference between the two, don't you? If you believe God, you will do what he says. And that's what we covered last time. Repent and believe the gospel. And the gospel is the good news of God and salvation through Jesus Christ to us. And we saw how that we need to repent. Now let's cover repentance again just a little bit here, and then we will see why we need to repent. Repentance means to stop transgressing the laws and commandments of God. And repentance means to turn from the traditions of men to the way of the Lord. And that you seek the true God, as we covered last time in segment number 2. So in this third segment, we're going to cover why do we need to repent? And what is it about human nature that causes us to sin and do the things that are not right, all the while maybe even thinking we are doing what is right? So let's come here to Luke 13. Let's see how important repentance really is. And we're going to see, if you think you're a good person, so I'm going to ask you the question, do you believe that you are a good person? All right. What is your standard for that? How do you define good? Well, as we saw last time, God is looking for those who are going to worship him in spirit and in truth. Luke 13. Verse 1, now at that time there were present some who were telling him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. So there they were, right at the temple, doing good, supposedly, offering sacrifices on the altar that God said they should be offered on, through the priesthood that God said to do it. So Pilate comes in, and he kills them, and puts their blood on the altar. Now, people normally look at things like that and say, well, they deserved it. So Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such things? No, I tell you, but if you do not repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now, it's very interesting how Jesus showed that repentance is absolutely necessary. What do we need to repent of? And why do we need to repent? All right, let's finish this section here. Or those on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them. Look at all the people that are killed in various floods and tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes. And those who are supposedly all innocent and shot down in cold blood. So Jesus said, do you suppose that these were debtors above all men who dwelt in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but if you do not repent, you shall all likewise perish. Well, what on earth is Jesus talking about? Well, let's understand the nature of man and how we think. Now, Romans 8 and verse 7. Basic understanding about human nature. Romans 8 and verse 7. Because the carnal mind, now that just means the mind we're born with, is enmity against God. Now, why is that? Enmity means you're an enemy of God. Have you ever thought that you're an enemy of God? How is that so? Let's read on. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So let's ask the question. What do you think about the laws and commandments of God? We're told in the churches today, well, you can just ignore all of those and just be good. Well, how do you be good if you don't know what good is? Because good in the mind of one person is not good in the mind of another person. So what is the standard? The standard then is the laws of God, the commandments of God, the word of God, which is called the way of the truth. Now, why is human nature at enmity against God? Now, how many people are there who say, I'm an enemy of God, I'm against God? No, they all think they're pretty good. Okay? Let's come here to Mark the 7th chapter. And let's see something very important here concerning human nature. And I want you to ask yourself a question as we read these things. And think about your own thoughts, your own heart, what you think about God, what you think about other people, what you think about yourself. Now, number one question. When was the last time you lied, or went along with a lie, or thought a lie was good? They've ran surveys and they found out this. The average human being lies to himself or herself every 11 minutes. Oh, but I'm not that way. Well, let's see. Let's see human nature as Jesus told it, because remember, he was the Lord God of the Old Testament and he created us, and he knows that living in a world under Satan the devil, our human nature becomes very evil, even that which is thought of as good. Mark 7, verse 21, for from within. Now, a little sidebar here. In the covenant with Israel, they kept the law in the letter outwardly. In the covenant with the church and the people of God of the New Testament, we are to be cleansed and be true inwardly, as we saw last time, to seek to worship God in spirit and in truth. For from within, out of the hearts of men, go forth evil thoughts. When was the last time you had an evil thought? Or when was the last time you agreed with an evil thought? Now, what do I mean by that? By watching television and watching all the lies and things that are there and thinking that that is entertainment.
Are you happy now? Is this what you want?
Oh, no, it's not what I want. It's not what I want. I'm sorry.
Now, let's take this one step further. How soon do people learn to have evil thoughts? Very young. You watch two babies together, say 8 or 9 months old, and there's some toys. There's going to be a fight. Who gets what? You get a little older, 2 or 3, they start hitting each other. Isn't that true? Because they want it. So at a very early age, there are a lot of evil thoughts. And what do you think when you see someone walk by? What is your impression of that person? And how do you know that your thoughts of that person are not lies? You don't, because only God knows the heart. So when Jesus says, from within, out of the hearts of men, go forth or proceed evil thoughts. So ask yourself the question, how many evil thoughts do I think and I go along with? And think about that in the music. Think about that on the entertainment you have. Think about that in what you do in your daily life. Think about that when you're talking to your husband or wife, or you're talking to your children, or you're talking to your fellow workers. And how many lies come back to you from them? Isn't it amazing? Yes, indeed. Notice, evil thoughts on adultery, fornications, murders. Look at all the murders and killing. Comes from within. And thefts, oh yes. Covetousness, you want what other people have that you don't have. Wickedness, guile, sneakiness, licentiousness, giving yourself license to do evil. And evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness, all these evil go forth from within, and these defile a man. Now, how is this explained in the Old Testament? Let's come back here to Jeremiah chapter 17. And here is a very classic verse concerning human nature. So when you examine your heart, now that's what you do when you repent. You examine your heart to understand that what I just read here is how you think. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the truth is, most people don't understand the real evil that lies in their hearts. That's why you need the commandments of God and the Word of God to convict you of those thoughts so that you will repent. Now, when you repent and turn to God, Then, as we covered last time, and number two, you need to repent and be baptized. And we'll talk a little bit more about baptism. Now notice verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. God is the heart knowing God. Now a little sidebar here. One of the most righteous men in the world listed in the Bible was Job. And he was perfect in the letter of the law. And he thought that his sacrifices would cover the sins of his children and everything like that. But Satan came along and said, Lord, he's only doing it because you put a hedge around him. So he went through many, many trials instigated by Satan, the devil. Now, why would God do that to him? Because, see, it's not the outward things alone that are important. Because, you see, the secret thought down deep inside with Job was that I'm more righteous than God. Now, that sounds like a wonderful thought, doesn't it? But that's one of the most evil thoughts you could possibly have. Can anyone think or imagine, or suppose, and lie to themselves so blatantly that they would say, I'm more righteous than God. And that's what Job did. That's why he went through the trial that he did. And most people, when they read the book of Job the first time, they think that God must have been wrong. He was so righteous. He was so good. I know when I read it, that's what I thought, because I didn't fully understand how God wants the conversion with the inward heart, not just out here, because even the most subtle con men can appear to be really good, really friendly, really caring, as long as they're taking something from you.
Watch closely as this man makes his way into the Golden Corral near San Mateo in Osuna yesterday afternoon. He slowly picks up a soda, then patiently waits for the line to clear. He approaches Conley, all smiles.
He was just really cool, calm, and collected.
She says he hands her a $100 bill. As she counts change, he gives her more change.
He confuses you, like, in the process of while you're still, like, counting your money, putting money back into your drawer.
What follows is a series of quick counting and cash changing hands. In the end, the man walks out with $50 more than he had originally, and a free drink.
Now then, when he repented, he says, I repent in sackcloth and ashes, and that no thought can be withheld from you, God. So how about you? God says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. Now, the reins is the special connection that God has with his spirit to the spirit of man, which every man and woman have. And that spirit of man is what gives us life, and that spirit of man is what gives us thinking and ability to do things. And God has given us independent free moral agency, IFMA. So we have to choose. One of the first things we need to choose and to understand in coming to God, if we're going to seek God, is to understand really how wicked and how evil that we really are. And so this verse is important. Now notice, even to give to each man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Now let's look at one more scripture here in Jeremiah 10. And let's see what Jeremiah admitted. Now Jeremiah was a prophet of God, doing the work of God, preaching the word of God, warning the people, coming into the temple and telling them, amend your ways. Don't come in here before me and do evil. Verse 23, think about this in your life, where you're going, and understand There are two ways, the way of the Lord in truth and the way of man in deception under Satan the devil. So let's read it. Verse 23, Jeremiah 10. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his steps. That's why people make so many mistakes. Yes, we can go along and do some good things for a while, but think about the good things that people do. Think about some of the things that they do that appear good, which are actually evil. And again, I'm going to bring out that there is no way that good comes from breaking the laws and commandments of God. Now, people think in keeping Sunday, because they've been lied to and accepted a lie and believe in a lie, it's a blatant, absolute lie. Now, you need our booklet, Rome's Challenge to the Protestants, where Cardinal Gibbons showed clearly from the Scriptures, New Testament, that the first day of the week or Sunday keeping is not there in the New Testament. And that it is a Catholic institution itself enacted by the pagan Emperor Constantine in 325 A.D. So if you think you're a good person because you go to church on Sunday, you're believing a lie. Doesn't matter how good you feel about it. Doesn't matter the wonderful hymns that you sing there. Doesn't matter all the friends that you have there. You're all living a cozy lie. It's not in man to direct his steps. Now notice, verse 24, O Lord, correct me. And that's what we need. That's what the Word of God does. It corrects us with our sins when we understand that breaking the commandments of God is sin. And we have seen that. That's why there is repentance. He says, but with judgment, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. Now let's mix this in with what Satan does. And Satan comes along, as we have seen, as an angel of light. And his ministers appear as ministers of righteousness. It all seems so well and good and just wonderful. Now let's come to Ephesians, the second chapter, and let's look at what the Apostle Paul wrote. And let's understand that Paul included himself in this before he was converted. Verse 1, Ephesians, the second chapter. Now you were dead in trespasses and sins. See, because they didn't repent. They didn't know anything about God's ways. They were living in sin. And if you're living in sin, which is a transgression of the commandments and laws of God, you are a sinner regardless of how good you think you're really doing. Because unless you understand the deceitfulness of human nature, and unless you understand how you need to come to God in repentance, then there is absolutely no good that you're doing, because it's all based on a lie and sin. And furthermore, here's what Satan does. You are dead in trespasses and sins in which you walked in times past. That's the way of man. According to the course of this world, we're to come out of the world, even though we live in it. Now, we'll explain that later. According to the prince of the power of the air. Who is that but none other than Satan the devil? And as we have seen, the whole world worships him. Revelation 13. And that comes from the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of Satan the devil that is now working within the children of disobedience, breaking the commandments of God. And remember this, Peter said that God only gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. Now, a lot of people don't like to hear the word obey. Well, if you don't obey, you're what? You're disobeying. And if you're disobeying, regardless of the superficial good that you might think it's accomplishing, you're living a lie. Now notice, verse 3, among whom also we all, Paul includes himself. Now what was Paul doing before he was converted? He was a Pharisee. He kept all the traditions of the law to the very letter. He was blameless in that. He was so powerful within Judaism that he even went to the high priest and got handwritten orders from the high priest to go out and take those people who were converting to Christianity in his day, to put them in chains and to persecute them and to have them killed. And he thought he was doing service for God until Christ knocked him down on the ground while he was going to Damascus to carry out his abominable deeds of persecuting the true Christians at that time. So that tells us that God can convert anyone who really repents. Now let's finish here. Among whom also we all once had our conduct in the lust of our flesh, doing the things willed by the flesh and by the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest of the world. Now think of that. That's the carnal mind. Now then, you need our booklet on baptism, the truth about water baptism, and why that is so important and what that has to do with our conduct and our relationship with God, and why baptism has to be full immersion in water. And that will explain to you from the scriptures the full meaning of baptism. And that's very profound. And then it explains about the laying on of hands to receive the Holy Spirit of God. And then you need to have our book, Why Were You Born? How is God going to take human beings who are like we have described, and if they repent, what is God going to do to them and for them? It's quite really an amazing, amazing book. Stop and think for a minute. If you don't know why you were born, what do you really know? Huh? Now, you may be very smart, may be very intelligent, you may have great things that you can do, but if you don't know why you're here, if you don't know why you were born, what good is what you're doing and the knowledge that you have? God has a fantastic purpose for all of us. God loves us, but we have to love God back, as we saw last time. And you write in for the book, How Credible is the Bible? You need to know that it is the truth of God, and that's why we have the Bible in its original order, now estimated to be one of the best translations in English in the world. You need the Holy Bible in its original order. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.